Edutainment Learning is powered by Academica Virtual Education and Collegia TV. For more information, visit www.edutainmentlearning.com.
My name is Ed Fairbairn. I live and work in the UK, and I basically have been an artist really since I graduated from uni, which was actually 10 years ago. 10 and a half years ago is when I graduated, and I started working with maps fairly soon after I graduated. In fact, it was round about November 2012. So, my practice as an artist is actually 10 years old this month. I've been doing it since, really. I just work freelance. I do this full time. And I do a kind of mix of work. I do sort of gallery work. I do commissions. That's basically it.
Very good. Can I pull up some of your pieces? We'll talk about them a little bit, and then we'll we'll let the kids ask some questions in a second. So I am going to. So can you tell us a little bit about this map? And I'm going to go ahead and zoom in so the students can see it. But can you tell us like your inspiration and was it Nike came to you to commission this?
Yeah, basically. So this was, I'd actually done a few things for Nike before this. This was not the first thing I had done for Nike. My first commissions for Nike, and actually all of the commissions that I've done for Nike, was about redesigning like an interior space. So this one specifically was about Oregon. And this particular part of Oregon, which is where the Nike headquarters are based, and I think the chap on the right, I think that's Bill Bowerman. I think he was possibly the original founder of Nike. I'm not 100% sure on the history.
He was Phil Knight's coach. Phil Knight founded Nike, and Bill Bowerman was his coach. And this is Steve Prefontaine, who's one of the world's most famous runners. So that's why it like jumped out at me. I was like, wow. So how, like, what is this a map of that we're seeing?
So I don't remember the exact place. I'm trying to think where Nike HQ is. I can't remember the exact location.
Beaverton, Oregon.
But this is, basically part of, this is part of, is it Beavertown?
Beaverton, Oregon, yeah.
Beaverton, that's it, yeah. So that's basically that was the basis for this piece. And I think what I did with this, I think I might have put a couple of maps together, stitched a couple of maps together, which I do for some of my bigger works. I did something else for Nike, one of the other stores. I think it was the California Newport Beach in California. And that was also really big, slightly bigger than this piece here. That was a lot of fun to work on. That was good. And that was basically just working with those materials that Nike provided.
So what do we see here in this one? Where is this at?
So this is Edgware, which is a part of London. And this was really, this has kind of become a bit of a trope for me, actually, this kind of posture. I really like this kind of angle, and I really like drawing portraiture at this kind of position. I actually put something on social media probably about an hour ago that looks really similar to this. It's a completely different piece, but it looks quite similar, and I just really like working with that particular angle, that particular posture. But this particular piece is entirely self-directed, and what I mean by that is it was my choice of location, my choice of the portrait, and essentially it's a case of bringing the two together and seeing how one can complement the other.
and it is fascinating. Like this one is really neat. Is this a topography map, like of like mountains? What's going on here?
Yeah, so this is slightly different. This is so every single map that I work with, I always approach my work with seeing how I can interject or kind of slip in my own imagery, and working with the visual language of the map that already exists. Now, this particular piece, this is following the lines of elevation. All of those contour lines, obviously the face isn't there. All I've done is I've followed all of those lines, and some of the lines I've made wider, and some of the lines I've made thinner. Some of them I've just left alone completely. And what that does is it creates a tonal range. So the areas where the lines are really wide, where they're all packed together, they all get really crowded, that creates areas of shadow. And it's a manual process. I don't use software or anything like that. It's just something that I look at. I follow those lines. I create those patterns. And it does give me a headache after a while. It does start to get a little bit, it's quite intensive to work on, but it's great fun.
Well, yeah, as we got kind of zoom in here to kind of see like the process, how like intricate this is, I'm sure you see a map and you see something completely different than what we see. And this one I think is really cool. Is this the United Kingdom? Where is this one at?
This is part of Maine, I think, Maryland, Maine area. Yep. A lot of what I work on is actually US based. I love working with maps of the States. And actually a lot of my interest comes from the States as well, which I love because, the United States is such a well-mapped country. There's some really great materials out there if you want to look at some maps of the States at all kinds of different scales, all kinds of levels. But this one was a private commission. This is part of Maine. And I really enjoyed working with the coastline on this. I love coastlines and maps. I think they're so organic. It's almost like somebody's torn something from something else. I just really like that effect. And those are the kind of patterns and constraints, the edges, things like that. Those are the elements that kind of push me in a direction when it comes to composition. And without that push, I think I would really struggle now. I working with, like, for example, plain paper these days, I really struggle with that because I'm so used to working with some kind of suggestive framework that is already there. I don't see faces in maps, but I see possibility. And when there is not that possibility there, i.e. working with plain paper, I kind of shut down a little bit now because I'm so used to this way of working.
That stuff is very incredible. And, you know, we don't have any coastal out here. We're here in Las Vegas, Nevada, and I know the kids are around all over the world. Do you mind if we jump right into some student questions?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
All right. So I'm going to go with Julie. Julie, you should be able to unmute to ask. You have our first student question. Go ahead and ask.
Yes. First, thank you. Thanks a lot for being here. I really admire your job. And my question were, where do you find all your models?
Where do I find the maps? The models,
like the people that you work with.
Okay. So that's very similar to basically how I find my maps. I'm very much a collector, as strange as that sounds. I'm a collector of references, artist references. I work with other artists, basically exchanging references. I take my own references from my own photography. And I also collect references from services that are actually set up to supply references to artists. A bit like life drawing. If you go to like life drawing sessions, there's that kind of thing, but more recorded. So you can do kind of like virtual life drawing, that kind of thing. And for me, with working with maps, I think because I do work from photography mainly more than from life, I think it's important to have a huge collection of things to dip into. Yeah, I find it really helpful. So for example, some maps I might want to work with, I just won't have the right imagery to go with that map. I'll see something that I want to create, but I might not have the right kind of posture, the right kind of model in the right way. So I think having that choice in the first place is really important. And just like the maps, I collect, it's something I collect and I've always got to hand.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. We have a question from Alvaro. He had a pretty neat question about your background. Go ahead, Alvaro.
Hello. Yeah. I would like to know, when did you realize about your artistic skills?
I think it's a bit cliche, but I've always drawn for as long as I can remember. As a child, I was always drawing a lot. I think I started to take drawing kind of seriously or semi-seriously when I was in high school. And I just remember drawing people, drawing figures from like my mum's magazines, you know, like all the advert pages and you know, kind of shampoo adverts, that sort of thing. I'd find those pictures and I'd draw from that kind of thing. And I remember working with things like Bristol Board. I remember kind of starting to get into kind of like sort of fancier papers and things like that, and just being like really interested in the possibilities of what could be done. And I think now, I mean, you know, I'm 33 now, and I remember a time just about before the internet. I think you guys growing up now, with all the resources you have, everything on YouTube, the guides, and being able to be in touch with other artists in the world and sharing everything you do with other people. And you know, I think that's absolutely fantastic. And I think that, you know, literally the world is at your fingertips. And I think I suppose to answer your question, it was a relatively young age for me. But I think you can get into it any time. And I think with the tools you have now, today in 2022, I think, you know, if you want to get into something like that, just, you can do so much, you can go so far. There are so many resources available out there that I wish I had, you know. But yeah, so I would say in my younger years, but I don't think it's ever too early or too late to kind of get into anything creative, really.
Great advice. Here we have a couple more questions. I'm gonna let you go. Lily, go ahead. You can unmute. You had a pretty good question about his inspiration. Go ahead.
Hello, I would like to ask that what inspired you to make these pictures or to work with this art style?
I think probably the maps themselves. So I'm a map collector as well as an artist. It's more a way of being able to combine my interests in quite a direct way. And I realize what I do is quite unusual, but it's that direct combination of my interests that I'm really into. I've always enjoyed portraiture. I've always enjoyed drawing people. But I think it's probably the maps themselves that inspire me more than anything else. The patterns, the kind of ephemeral nature of a lot of the maps that I work with, the idea of the history behind what I work with. I find that kind of thing really interesting. So it's kind of a mix of things, but I would say the maps predominantly.
That's absolutely fascinating work. Now, like, when did you, because you're essentially the one who created this genre of art. Like, when was that aha moment?
I think that was probably October, November 2012, 10 years ago. I bought a map from a charity shop. I think you call it thrift shop in the States. Thrift shop, charity shop. I bought a map from a charity shop, and I didn't really know why I bought it. I always liked going to charity shops. I think they're actually quite inspirational places. Like, you never know what stuff you're going to find in a charity shop. And I picked up a map and I bought it. I think it was 20 pence, so that's about 20 cents roughly. And I don't think buying that map wasn't really anything unusual. I'd always collected things like stamps and old envelopes and, you know, receipts and things like that, like really old, you know, kind of historical stuff that you might find at like a fair or something. I'd always collected stuff like that. And I think really one night I was in my studio and I was kind of thinking about what I wanted to draw, what I wanted to create. And I wasn't really doing anything particularly focused at the time. I was just kind of like playing around with different things. And I think I basically looked at the map and I started looking at the patterns in the map. And I realized that as chaotic as everything looked on the map, everything has an order. Everything has a sense of logic. You know, cartography is really just about making sense of something that is seemingly chaotic, but putting it in some kind of order. And I think I just wondered if I could basically add my own rules to that. So add my own information, but following a sort of discipline, something like, you know, don't draw over this, or always draw over this color, or as you come around here, mind this, you know, that kind of thing. And it was just an experiment, really. And I realized after doing that, I realized what I was doing was quite profound in a way, because it was combining, you know, sort of sense of place with a person. And I've carried that concept ever since, you know, can either be a person specifically in an individual sense, or just a general kind of wider reminder, people in general, you know, serving as a reminder that we belong, you know, on this planet, but also we're a product of the planet. We're, you know, this is our home, and we, you know, we need to look after it. And there was just that kind of duality, really, just that kind of realization that that's quite a profound thing to create.
So fascinating. So we'll go with the, is three more questions okay for you?
Yeah, fine, yeah.
Okay, Santiago, go ahead and unmute and ask. You had a pretty good question about his process.
First of all, hello. It's an honor to be here and listen to you. And my question was that if you, when you draw in maps, you draw by pencil or by using apps or technology?
So I'm mostly kind of traditional artist. I tend to work in pencil and pen mostly, usually ink pen of some sort. But recently, really within the last, I'd say the last year, the last couple of years, I've actually started working kind of digital a little bit more, like on a graphics tablet. And I've not been very open about that, actually, on social media. It's not really something that I've spoken a lot about. But I started doing work on a graphics tablet, and that's mostly for commercial clients. That's mostly for commissions where I'm working with like a brand or something, because a lot of the time when I do those sorts of commissions, it's really convenient to be working digital, because you can make lots of changes quite easily at the end. And yeah, it's just much easier. I also have like the first piece that you showed, the Nike piece, the Oregon piece. Mm-hmm. The size of that, the original size of that, is huge. I've done some pieces for some commercial clients that are so big that it's actually quite difficult to accommodate them in my studio, like actually unroll them and work on them, because some of the brand work that I do, the requirements that the client has is like, you know, they want something that can fill a wall, or, you know, like I did something for Netflix recently that it all needed to be in 4K. The resolutions, the size requirements are absolutely huge. And if you can work on a graphics tablet, you know, that's just size in cyberspace. That's much easier to deal with than, you know, having something that takes up your whole studio. So yeah, I've started working digital more recently, but to answer your question, generally it's a pens and pencils thing. I just like the maps themselves. I love the physical, tangible, ephemeral nature of being able to handle these things. And yeah,
and congratulations on the Netflix piece. I was actually just thumbing through my Netflix queue like yesterday, and I was like, is that Ed's work? And the Girl in the Vatican, brilliant artwork on that, by the way. So we'll go with our final question. This is from Julio. Go ahead to unmute to ask.
I'd like to ask you about your past, about your childhood, and if you had a dream when you were younger, and the people around you, if they had supported you, and Indeed, if you had a dream and how you kept working even though maybe people didn't support you.
Yeah, that's a really great question. My mum was very supportive of me, and I think she always said that. My mum always had the view that if you know I wanted to do this thing, I wanted to go into this line of work. If I never tried, then I possibly would have always regretted not knowing if I could have been successful in that line of work. I actually wanted to be a pilot for quite a long time. I learned to fly as well when I was 17. I did a solo flight and I got hours logged and everything. I wanted to go into the military as a pilot. And that seems like a very different, you know, path to take. I was really keen on that. And my personality is and always has been very kind of hyper-focused. I have what a lot of people would call an addictive personality, which has a bit of a bad rap. There are really obvious pitfalls with an addictive personality. But for me, in my life, I've made it into something good. And my kind of hyper-focus on things, you know, I any one thing at any given time for me has 100% of my attention. And I tend to kind of fixate on things. And that was really useful for me, starting to go into a creative line of work, because that was the kind of thing that I needed to do. And, you know, previously I was very fixated on becoming a pilot and I was really keen on the idea and everything. And then just things changed. I just realized that, you know, I had maybe natural abilities in other areas with other things. And eventually I just realized that I really need to be true to myself and I really need to do this other thing that I want to do. So then creativity got all of my attention. And yeah, people were generally supportive. I know my mum certainly was. My family generally were. There were people growing up that would say, you know, oh, you know, you're not going to get a job in that or anything like that. And I actually remember my admissions interview when I went to university with my tutor. I actually asked him if he helps people get jobs, you know, if the course is good for people getting jobs in the art world. And he kind of laughed at me and said, there aren't really any jobs in this line of work. It's all freelance. It's all self-employed. And that's not entirely true. There are definitely jobs in this line of work. But yeah, basically, that was it really. Just kind of a mix, I suppose. Some people being supportive, some people not so supportive, but it's really dependent on people's ideas and perceptions of, you know, what can be done in this world and this line of work. The one thing I would say though, really, really importantly, is, and again, this is kind of about the internet and your generation, my generation, the possibilities now are just so open. I think with social media, it is, for me, it's the biggest tool that I use for reaching people, selling my work. And sometimes I don't like that because I didn't really sign up to be a content creator. You know, I wanted to be an artist, not a content creator. But I guess I'm saying that those possibilities are there and all of you are kind of in the right place to make the most of those things. You've grown up with that. So yeah, it's really exciting.
It is. And definitely check out his work. It's edfairburn.com. And we have a lot of great guest speakers coming up for next week. You guys go ahead and sign up if it meets your interest and your time. We have an FBI agent, a 9/11 survivor, the USS Constitution, the United States Navy is going to give us a tour of the oldest floating ship on the planet. But before we go, Ed, can you give these kids any advice as they go off into the world and kind of figure out what they want to do? As someone who's accomplished, you essentially went out and you created your own art form. And, you know, what kind of advice would you have for them?
Oh, I think generally just, I would say, don't be afraid to change your mind about certain things. If you think you might want to do one thing, but you feel like you're getting pulled into something else, you know, explore everything. Just see what it is that really grabs your attention. And I think for me, it's about being passionate about you know, what you do and finding that drive to be able to do that thing every day, I suppose. I think that's really important. But otherwise, yeah, just it's probably not very good advice, but
No, it's great advice. And you gave us a lot of great advice about following your passion, following your heart, not listening to the naysayers, the people that you trust in your life. Those are the ones that you need to listen to. And so, Ed, before we go, before I end the meeting for all, this is kind of a tradition that we do. I'm going to allow everyone on here to unmute. And can we all say Ed? Can we all say thank you to Ed for spending time with us tonight? Thank you so much, Ed. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
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 Thank you.